Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Welcome back, guys. This is episode 2
of Black Stories.
Black Stories. If you listen to us, you are probably binging and just hopping on. hopping.
Or you skip the intro.
Then welcome after a month
break. But also go back and listen to the intro.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. We had a good time. Talked about some intense stuff.
Yes.
But good stuff.
Yes. It is Black History Month.
Yes.
So we are doing Black Stories again. Mm-hmm. Plus, this is like an ongoing topic that we can continue to talk about. So
Yeah.
But specifically for Black History Month, we decided that we wanted to pick 4 movies that we just have really enjoyed lately. So This week we are doing Pixar's Soul. It is new. You can watch it on Disney Plus. Yeah. Hopefully you've already watched it because we are going to spoil it.
We are going to spoil it.
Yes.
And you don't want that.
Yeah. Because it's a good movie. It is a good movie.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Soul. I know that there's been some pushback and just some things to think about. But I think overall, I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of feedback to Soul that is valid.
Mm-hmm.
It's feedback. That's what it is. It's feedback. It's not like, oh my gosh, you guys are like horrible. You're terrible. Yes. I think it's feedback that they can use moving forward.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So before we start at the top by talking about producers, writers, directors, and then dive into the story, we are going to take a quick break.
Awesome. All right. Welcome back, guys.
So we are going to do what we usually do. We start at the top by talking about producers, writers, directors before we move on. Because something that we really learned last year from the Black Lives Matter movement is it's so important to see who is behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes. Who's at the table? Who's at like the table of power and decision making?
Exactly.
And that's something that we've never really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
We've always kind of been actors. Like, yeah, we always thought the actors are the ones that are in charge.
Yes, but they're not.
But they're not. Especially I'm gonna say this with the Me Too movement, right? We learned so much. Like Harvey Weinstein is such an example of what really happens behind the scenes and who really controls things behind the scenes. Because Harvey Weinstein was abusing a lot of the stars that we look up to.
Yeah.
Right.
And who we love.
And and the stories of sexual assault and just all sorts of stuff. And they could not even speak up. You would think that with their fame, if they ever said, hey, I'm being attacked, I was sexually harassed or assaulted, that immediately the whole world would bend over backwards to save them. But the fact that that did not happen, there was no protection for them, means that there is a hierarchy of power and control in Hollywood that is very different from what we thought. Or rather, what I thought. Because I thought the celebrities and the musicians and the dancers, the guys you see on TV are the ones who are the most powerful. Mm. But no, it's the guys who are in the writer's room, the guys who decide what the actors act and so forth.
Mm.
And so it's very important to pay attention to them because it protects the actors. You know, with the Me Too movement, we learned so much about how to protect women in the industry, you know, and men too. And how to also have the conversation about race and about equity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that was pretty powerful last year.
Yeah. This is actually reminding me a lot of, we watched Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which is on, I think you can stream it on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
That movie. First of all, the performances are like out of control. If this doesn't win 1,000, like,
it better
awards, like, it deserves it.
It was intense acting.
Yeah, it was such intense acting. But Chadwick. Yeah, it was with Chadwick's last performance.
Phenomenal performance. Like,
yes.
Out of this world. Yeah.
But is that Viola?
Viola.
Yes. So she's the main character.
Yes.
And she is a singer. Mm-hmm. And she's a super famous, like, black singer.
Yeah.
And she talks a lot in that about power. And how she will not do certain things, and she will hold out on things. Mm. And, like, she seems unreasonable, but it has to do exactly with what Shalom was talking about with Me Too.
Yeah.
There is power that they have, and it makes them seem like a diva or something like that. But if they don't, like, you will get shorted. Like, you will get taken advantage of, because, honestly, like, these producers, like, they actually have a lot of power. Mm-hmm. They have the most power.
Mm-hmm. And we assume, like, it's like, no, like, if you touched this actor, like, the world would fall apart. But we've had how many famous people have gone in and come out?
Oh, like, even Brendan Fraser was talking about that. Like, it was a big deal that he came back on Doom Patrol.
Yes.
He was sexually assaulted.
Yeah.
By a producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he left for a long time because of that.
Yeah. And you would never think that, because it's like he's on the mummy, you know, like, and he's movies. Playing this big character, and so we assume that, oh my gosh, he walks on and everybody worships him. Nope. But in all honesty, it is the producers, the executive producers, the company directors, the CEOs, you know, the Kevin Ferges, like, you know, like Ferges, who run things, who are in charge of what really goes on. And not that he's a bad person. I'm sure he's a good person. I'm not saying
he's bad. You're just saying he's a big producer.
But I'm just saying, like, he's like, those are the powerful people. They're the guys who run things. Mm-hmm. And so that is something, you know, worth thinking about when we look at these movies.
Mm-hmm.
We dig in. I mean, Courtney is more studious than me. Like, she's more, I'm like, I don't want to read.
You can definitely point out the Gryffindor and the Ravenclaw in the room.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy to tell. So
Courtney would be like, did you know this? And I'm like, oh my gosh, did you know this?
And then
I'll say it louder.
He just says it louder. It's fine. So this movie had a lot of producers, but the two executive producers, they did have a black woman and a white man. And then when it came to writers, it actually started as a white writer.
Yeah.
I actually really like Pete Docter. I think he's a good writer. He did Inside Out. He's been with Pixar for a long time.
Yeah.
And director, he both him and once they decided, I actually think this is a pretty interesting story. So he knew coming out of Inside Out that the next question he was going to tackle was the meaning of life, which is pretty much like, wow, dude, could you go any deeper?
Like, you do with death too.
Yeah. So he decided, like, the meaning of life, like, that's what he wanted to do. And as he started diving into it, like, he realized that he wanted it to be a jazz musician, because he felt like that was the best way to talk about, like, your soul, and music was a really good way to express that. And jazz was, like, the most authentic form of music, essentially, that he wanted to use. And then going from there, they didn't La La Land it. They actually were like, okay, this is like a black, this needs to be a black person.
Yeah.
And then they brought on Kemp Powers, who is, he actually wrote, One Night in Miami that we just watched.
Mm-hmm.
So once they brought him on, he also became one of the directors. So he co-wrote and co-directed this with, Pete Docter.
Yeah.
So I do think, like, in some ways, like, I kind of want to be a little judgy, but in other ways, I want to be like, is that a good ally? Like, do you, like, what do you think, Shalom? Like, do you think Pete Docter is being a good ally in that sense?
I think he is. I think he is. I think the fact that he was like, let me stop myself, because I now know the direction that I'm going, but let me stop myself immediately and invite someone else into, like, a black person who has a black perspective, the black experience, let them come in and let them help me write the story, they will bring that authenticity and bring themselves. And I think that's it. It's very different. Like I said, they did not La La Land it, right?
Yeah.
La La Land, basically, like, it was like a white person saving jazz.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to watch.
Well,
you know?
in La La Land, they're in that club, it's like all black people and he's just up there like
the one. Playing. Yeah, we just, it's like,
and you're
guys,
kinda like, okay.
Guys, is no one in this room like thinking this is weird?
Don't get us wrong. We love the music in La La Land. Like, we watched La La Land recently because we just wanted to listen to it.
The music is so good. Now I want to watch it again. But it's weird. It's weird to look at. And Ryan Gosling? Gosling?
Ryan.
Gosling?
Yeah, there you go.
Gosling?
You got me all messed up.
You know, like, it's you know, he's a lot of women like love and men, like, they love the way he looks and all of that. So he was kind of like, people got carried away with that. And a lot of commentary when the movie came out was about, oh my gosh, like, he's so handsome and this. So there wasn't really a lot of talk of like, guys, it's a white guy who is saving jazz. Is no one else looking at this? And after all the, you know, the craziness, the fanfare, that's when people started to actually have, like, okay, guys, now that we're over the aesthetic, and also the music was really good.
Yeah, the music was
really
good.
Now that we're over
good.
It, let's have a conversation about, like, the actual, like, story here. You know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm glad we all came to that point. And I'm glad they didn't win an Oscar. Super awkward moment. One of the most awkward moments in the Oscars. Like, oh my gosh. But because just for that, you know, because I think it's important that, yeah, if you're going to win a movie, like, for a movie about jazz, it has to be, like,
authentic.
Really, like, it has to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I know there are white people who play jazz, don't get me wrong, and probably a lot who are incredible. But, hey, you know, there are people who carry the weight to bring jazz to where it is. And I think it's important to honor that. If you're going to create a movie about jazz, honor that. Don't move away from some of those roots, especially if the people who carried it were oppressed and beaten and went through so much. You don't want to be that extra barrier that then makes people go like, okay, now that you've taken that story from us.
Yeah.
You know, what are we going to do? So I applaud the team at Disney for stopping themselves in their tracks and saying, hold on, let's bring in somebody to help us out. And not just somebody, let's not bring them on as
a consultant.
What show was that, like, that did that?
that was Princess and the Frog.
The Princess and the Frog.
They're like, right? Well, we have Oprah.
Oprah.
You love her.
Everybody gets an opinion. But, like,
you get an opinion.
And it did not really, like, there's, like, the pushback is strong. It's pretty strong to that. Like, it's like,
and you know what? They did put together a team as they were developing the story and everything.
Yeah.
And it was all Pixar employees this time, actually, who were working on the project.
Right.
From everything, from just wanting to make sure that it felt like an authentic African-American experience.
The design, everything.
Everything. So, like, they talked a lot about Joe's mom and his, like, aunties.
Yes.
And, like, they wanted to make sure that, like, that made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how they interacted, how they interacted with Joe.
Mm.
So I really applaud them on that. I think that they've come a long way.
They have.
There's pushback.
Much less.
I think I do want to talk about that a little bit. There is pushback to the body switching.
Yeah.
Because it does seem like body switching only happens to people of color. Whether you look at Emperor's New Groove, you look at Princess and the Frog. That new one. This isn't Disney, but it just came out. The one that has the dude who played Falcon. He turned into a pigeon. Yeah, the spy one.
Spy.
That
Will
one
Smith.
Just
Will
came
Will
out.
Smith, yeah.
So, like, it just seems like a lot of body switching when it comes to fantasy, when it comes to cartoons, happen to people of color.
In some ways,
I'm almost sad because I feel like this movie is so gorgeous. Like, I think it's so deep. Mm. I think they hit on so many interesting topics.
Right.
And it's almost a shame that that was part of the plot. Because in some ways, I think when I look at this story, like, I think Joe had to be Mr. Mittens. Like, I think he had to get out of himself and watch someone live his life. Because when he goes into, like, the Hall of Me, I think it's called, and he's showing 22 his life, he's like, I don't remember my life like that. I don't remember my life like that. Like, it's not this sad, you know, because 22 is like, your life's so sad and depressing. Like, I almost feel like he had to get out of himself and get a new perspective to realize that like he was so obsessed with his dream that he wasn't actually living his life.
Maybe I would have replaced Tina Fey in that situation. I would have replaced Tina Fey there because
to have her be a black character,
have a black actor play, you know, I'm not forgetting the character's name.
22 or Joe?
22, yeah. Have a black character, a black actor play 22. Right? So that it at least, there's a balance. There's a sense of balance to it, in my mind, at least. Right? Where it's like, black characters living black lives. Right? But in this situation, it's still awkward. It's like, oh my gosh, Tina Fey, she's white. And she's amazing. And one of the most authentic, real people in Hollywood. Right? But I think there's a weirdy feeling, or weirdy that
Sensitive time, right?
It's a sensitive time, but there's a weird feeling to it that almost like it's not outrage. It's something that could have been avoided, and something that they can improve on, something that they can and I mean. Maybe. What do you think about the timing? Like, do you think this was the right time?
I would say, if I was Disney, this is a beautiful movie. I probably would have shelved it for 5 years.
5 years.
I probably would have shelved it for 5 years and just been like, I need you. Like, this is gorgeous. The timing's bad.
Yeah.
We need to flood the market right now with minorities, like we just need to flood it, like we need to flood it with minorities, like we need to get those cartoons out there, like get them at like these main characters, and then bring this out.
Because there are movies that have, you know, white people changing, like, I mean, Brave, right? The mom turns into a bear, right? The triplets turn into bears. But really,
but we have a million white characters. So many
white people in TV, so no one thinks about it. No one goes like, wait, why do you keep changing that person into an animal? You know, like, there isn't, like, a lot of questioning.
There's also, within Pixar, Joe is our first black lead in a Pixar movie.
Right.
So that's also, like, I just think you really have to be sensitive when you're hitting these first.
Right.
That you are being careful within. I mean, and again, that being said, like, that's probably my only real critique of this movie is I really felt like even the animation of the characters, like, there's, I think what's hard about animation is animation always, you're accentuating certain things about characters. So, like, for example, when you look at Curly, he's a drum player. He's got these huge shoulders, right? Yeah. And Joe has these long fingers because he's a piano player, like, I just think that, like, animation's used to, like, accentuate certain things about characters. Mm. And that being said, like, they also did have to walk that line of, like, people of color have been characterized in terrible ways for the detriment, like, to their detriment, you know? And I think that they also had to play in that line. And I felt like the animation was really good.
Yeah, like... I agree. Like, I think the animation was fantastic. The hair, the barbershop scene executed to perfection. And I thought that was something that was beautiful. So my critique, like, which I do share the same sentiments about, like, hey, they shouldn't have, they should have shelved it. I agree with it. It took me a while to to come on board with that. I was like, yeah, but they could have moved stuff around, you know, which they could, but they could have done this exact same thing and just shared it 5 years later, and then put out a lot of like great movies and so forth. Yeah, but my thing is like it's not as strong of a cloud over the rest of the movie.
Yes.
It's not like the way, you know, I almost said frog.
It's not the same as Princess and the Frog. It's not the same
as Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that created almost like a shadow over the rest of the movie, right? Like, in terms of critique, in terms of response, a lot of people are just like, oh my gosh, are we animals again? Like, why is this happening? Why does this keep happening? And so there's also like this aspect of it didn't like change him and then send him off to where they're just white people. It kept him in the black community.
Yeah.
So the black experience is still like authentic. He's still like, then he goes to the barbershop, then he goes to the store, to his mom's shop.
Yes.
Where there's like lots of interaction and society and a lot of like, you know, banter and so forth. And so you actually, and then the jazz and like all of that, it's all part of the experience, right? And so, and then he comes back into his body, he goes to jazz, like to the cafe, and then he plays and the music is beautiful. And so for me, I think that the fact that they kept it in the environment, in an authentically black environment, right, that it doesn't make up for the fact that there's this trend that they've turn black people into animals trend, right, or into spirits or into whatever, right?
Like, I mean, they turned him into an animal.
Into an animal. He became a cat.
He became a little kitten.
Yeah, right. And so I think I generally think that somehow it doesn't make up for it, but there's less of a shadow. It's a thin shadow. It's something like, it's almost polarizing a little bit, right?
Yes.
In terms of like creators, I'm on TikTok and I was curious what people think, and it's mixed. A lot of people gave feedback saying, I'm just so glad that it didn't have black pain.
Yes.
Right? I'm just so glad that it didn't have... And let me clarify this, right? These are black creators saying this, not white creators.
Yes.
Black creators, yes, they want white people, right? Black people want white people to understand black pain and understand the struggle, right? And feel it with us. You like, and when say us, I'm a black person, I've been here for 7 years, I still have to teach myself to feel the pain of like entire generations of people that have been oppressed for decades, right? So black people want white people to feel that pain, right? Feel that pain too, and empathize, right? It will never be to the fullest extent, but at least reach out and try and empathize. But at the same time, black people sometimes get weary of just watching black people suffer on TV. They get tired. Like, it's almost like, it's like, I just want to see black people happy, right? That's why Jingle Jangle was such a hit, because it's like, wow, it's just no black people getting oppressed or being beaten or being threatened. Like, this is not about like your skin color. Like, it's a show about a genius, like,
yes,
who is like
multiple geniuses,
right? Multiple geniuses and kind of almost like magical. And that is something that black people desire so much. So a lot of black people appreciated the fact that this movie was not about the black struggle, right? They appreciated that it was a break, something, a getaway moment for black people. So, and then whilst that was happening, there was a group that almost immediately threw it out, because they were just like, can you not give us movies that turn us to animals? But I think the ratio, the pushback is much less than Princess and the Frog.
I agree.
Much less. Because they kept it in the black environment and they were authentic to the black experience and the environment and the barbershop and all that. Yeah.
That being said, Disney Plus released stats on Soul. I think they said that it hit 1.4 billion streams, mm-hmm. which is the highest streaming Pixar movie.
The highest streaming Pixar.
And it's only been out for a month and a half. Mm-hmm. 2 months now?
Yeah.
Not that long. It has not been out that long.
Yeah.
So, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, it is a good movie.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good
movie. I agree, though. It's like, in some ways, I want to be like, Disney, freaking read the room. Like, mm-hmm. people are angry about this trend. You know what I mean? Like, right. it's like they're angry about the trend. Like, do something where they're not going to be angry. So you right. don't anger people.
Right.
I think what I want to ask you, like, I don't have a say here because I'm white. But, like, what did you think about this as, like, a black story? Like, what, is there anything that particularly sticks out to you that you wanted to expand on?
That's the like, black, like, joy aspect is, mm-hmm. like, or rather, the fact that he didn't focus too much on black pain, right? Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of black pain shows. I mean, I space them out, right? Because my heart can't take watching it all the time, right? So we have to space it out and kind of like,
mm-hmm.
because every time I watch it, my heart just gets super heavy. And yeah, it's a lot to process emotionally as a black person,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so there is an appreciation of that to say, it's wow, a movie about life, the meaning of life, music. And I'm a musician, so I'm like, and I mm-hmm. love jazz. Mm-hmm. And like, and the music is incredible, and I'm just vibing to it. And it's Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx, come on. Like, he's an amazing dude. And so that is something that, like, I was like, yeah, I'll just enjoy this and mm-hmm. go with it. It was that change I talked about is just, It's a nagging feeling, but it doesn't feel malicious to me. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel, mm. It doesn't feel malicious to me. And even when you know that, oh no, this was the whole plan was, it wasn't like, it's a black person, make them
yes.
change to something else.
Yes.
It was like, hey, here's the story. Oh yeah, we're going to go, let's go with jazz. Jazz is a good, like they chose yes. jazz and they're like, hey, I think this needs to be a black experience movie. And I think, over time, like, it's an improvement. It's an improvement of, if when you understand the process, it's mm-hmm. an improvement. But also, as a person who follows black creators and talks to black people, there is a mixed reaction to that.
Yes.
But in terms of loving the movie itself and actually appreciating the fact that it's not about black pain, yeah, like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like having a cake and loving the taste and the loving the flavors and everything, and just maybe the texture is a little weird. The sponge is a little dense. You know what I mean? Like it's like those kind of moments.
Yeah.
You taste it, you're like, wow, this is so great, so good, and then you're like, oh, but yeah, but this is a little.
It's a little off.
It's leaning to the cornbread side of things, you know, and then you're like, yeah, that's a shame. That's a shame, you know. And you,
Paul Hollywood.
Yeah, like Paul Hollywood. You're not gonna get a handshake, but it's a good cake.
So weird.
You get to go to the next round, you know. Yeah. So that's how I process it.
I think watching it, there's a Joe reminds me of you, Shalom, like so much. Like he's a musician and he loves his little hats and he's got his little turtleneck. Like he's. It just reminds me of Shalom. The barbershop scene for me was like, I just think everyone needs to know, like, when Shalom goes to the barbershop, he's there for like, I feel like you're there for half a day.
You're there for a long time. Like 2 hours.
Shalom is there for a long time. And
it's
experience. He'll like come back and he'll be like, I was talking to Santi and like we dove into like the philosophical side of the Marvel universe. I'm like, what? Okay. Like, oh my gosh. Like, it's just so funny. And the rap, Shalom always talks about the rap on his face, and Joe gets that at the end where they put the towel on his face. Yeah,
with the towel on your face and you steam you. Like, guys, this is getting a haircut. Like, when I moved to the States, where we live in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Right, I do not trust. I'm gonna say this, and I'm sure they're good people. I do not trust any barber within 10 mile radius. I do not. Right, so I drive like 15-20 minutes down 611 to to get a haircut from Santi, and he's like, he's my guy, like basically like the chair, like it's like a nice comfortable chair, and then he just, and he's, there's music playing, like he's from Honduras, I think. Mm-hmm. And he basically, like, he's like such a chill guy, and basically he like he'll like steam your face, you get steamed and then you get like a nice like shave. Oh,
it's so good. This is why I have like that barbershop scene. It's, and that's amazing. Actually something, that's a scene that Kemp's Power added mm-hmm. to it.
Right.
Joe was originally not going to the barbershop. Right. And that, when I listened to some of the behind the scenes where they were talking about the addition of that scene,
yeah,
I was like, oh my gosh, that is so, like, that reminds me so much of Shalom. Like, if mm-hmm. Shalom's getting ready for any big performance, he's like, I gotta go to Santi, like, now. Like, I gotta go. Like, gotta get my edges straight. I gotta do this. And it's like, honestly, like, as a white person,
right,
like, that's not something you do. Like, I mean, you make sure your hair looks good, but, like, it's very different, like, mm-hmm. and even, like, when my brother goes to get his haircut, like, that's, like, 5 minutes there, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, he's not there for a long time, it's not this big, like, social, like, whatever, you know? So, I just, yeah, that scene really reminded me of you. Really get into you. It.
Yeah, like, and soccer, like, I mean, I love soccer, and Santi loves Barcelona, so we talk about, you know, La Liga, and we talk about, hey, yeah, how's your team doing, you know? and it's always a great time. I just miss that.
2 hours.
The pandemic has actually kept me away from going for a haircut. One day.
One day we'll be back. Any other thoughts on this movie? Like, besides, doesn't even have to be within
Black stories. I really appreciate the conversation on purpose. Mm. You know? Like, I know it's not tied to, it's a more universal,
yes,
you know, concept, and I really appreciate the fact that, like, you know, as a gig musician, so for me, I'm not a gig musician per se, like I'm a performer, so I do more of like people will call me and say, hey, you know, we have an event, what's mm-hmm. happening, can you come and play a song or two, and so I don't really do gigs where it's like every single day I'm playing, but I have before, you know, mm-hmm. I have, you know, when I was in Zimbabwe, there was a time when, you know, I spent, I think, a month doing that, where it's mm-hmm. like, you're just playing almost every day, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I basically, you know that feeling where it's like, oh my gosh, if I can just play on this band and be part of this band and this experience, and you then become part of it, and you might love it, but there's also like that missing element, like where it's like the movie is not about finding your purpose. The movie is about enjoying, finding meaning in every moment, mm-hmm. finding meaning in every experience, you know? And that's something that I really appreciated. I really appreciate that. Like, and I know sometimes to Black yeah. stories, but as a black person, you know, with everything that's happening, you know, I'm all about social justice, and I have a vision in my mind of what it looks like, you know, like, and what the future looks like. And when Joe Biden won the election, like, it was one of the most incredible, like, November 7th will always be imprinted on my mind. Always, you know, like I remember I went to buy champagne, and it was like cars were pouring in, like I was fortunate, I got there at the perfect time.
We jumped on it. I was like, get it now.
Yeah, at the perfect time, because like I saw it, like I was getting results earlier than most people, and the moment I saw it, I put on the TV, then I went out, I like went to the car. Went to the store, Wine and Spirits, and was in the line for a little bit. There was line because of, you know, COVID restrictions and so forth. And then I went in, and everyone in there was buying champagne. And we didn't want to, like, we didn't want any, like, weird confrontations there. So we're just nodding at each other, like, we won, you know. And basically, as I left, as I was driving out of the driveway from the store, cars were like pouring in, and it was like, then seeing videos of people in the streets singing, celebrating, to be honest, that's one of the most heart feeling experiences. But the next day, it was like, okay, like, so we get to fight again. We get to, like, mm-hmm. do this. When it, like, oh, so much stuff happened after that. Like, so much drama has happened since that time. But I think for me, like, I'm realizing between those, like, when you have those beautiful moments, those, like, high moments.
Which, yeah.
You know, you need to actually enjoy life. You need to
eat your pizza.
Eat your pizza, right? Like, eat. I love pizza. I love pizza.
Joe, enjoy, 22 loves pizza.
Enjoy the pizza. Enjoy mm-hmm. it. Like, have a moment. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy a drink. Enjoy something. Like, and because those things are important to life. Yes, goals and ambitions are important. But hey, like, you know, on the way. And as a black person who's waiting for that moment when justice is like mm-hmm. such a guarantee rather than something we need to fight for and push mm-hmm. for constantly. On the way, we need to enjoy life, because when we do get to that place, life, you know, tomorrow you wake up the next day.
Yeah.
And, but you're someone who enjoys life and just like, you just keep rolling and, you know, waiting for the next big thing, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah. realizing the important thing is enjoying life.
So. Yeah. I think that same scene really hit me when Dorothea is telling the story about the
yeah.
the little fish that's looking for the ocean. And right. they're like, you're in it. And he's like, no, this is water. And I think right. that part really hit me, because I think it's so easy to get stuck on like what they're talking about, like your spark. Like,
yeah, right.
what's your spark?
Right.
Like, what yeah. sparks you? Like, what does this? And it's like, I had this goal for 2020. I wanted to have a viral video or a viral post. Like, I really, really wanted it. And I made this drink look like Baby Yoda. And it went yeah. viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I was like, now what? And it's like, you do it again.
Yeah. And you, like, also got shared, like, your stuff shared by Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
And Doctor Who.
Yeah. I did. I made a pie that was shared by the Doctor Who page, mm-hmm. and don't go in the comments. I learned that from Wreck-It Ralph Breaks the Internet, but I went in the comments anyway, mm-hmm. and someone said that my pie looked like it tasted gross, and I was like, excuse you.
It actually tasted great.
It tasted great. Anyway, digress. Okay. Never mind. But I think that was such a story for this generation, because I feel like we get very purpose-driven, like,
right.
purpose-driven life, like,
right.
purpose, 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 like, right. what's your spark, what's your thing, what do you do, like, what makes you special, but it's like, then you miss out on the normal life stuff, and right. I think it puts so much on these moments, like, Joe wanted to make it as a gig artist so bad,
yeah.
and he does it, and he's on this high, and then he's like, now what, and it's like, at the end of the day, you're still a normal person, living mm-hmm. a normal life,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, like with my TikTok video, I was like, I did it, and like nothing's different. My life is still the same.
Yep.
I still have to pick up dog poop off the ground
because yep.
of Zimmy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm still
yeah.
just a normal person.
Yeah.
So I think that was really refreshing about this story, was the idea of like sometimes mm-hmm. we put too much on mm-hmm. on like purpose and mm-hmm. like these specific things about ourselves mm-hmm. and we forget just to enjoy things.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I tear up though when Joe has his memories and he's like sitting with his dad playing piano yeah. and he's like by the ocean. He's like doing all this. Yeah. I'm like, beautiful life.
Beautiful. That's awesome. That's so good.
Any last thoughts about the movie before we wrap up?
Oh, I'm good. I think I've said everything I want to say.
Yeah. Overall, yes, we have like our minor, just a minor hiccup about this
minor
movie.
Major hiccups. Minor.
It's complex. It's complex. Mm. Which we discussed earlier. Mm. It's a very complex issue, mm. but overall, I think beautiful movie. I think
yes.
I think you know, I saw a decent amount of. On the plus side, I saw a decent amount of black creators who were like, this shows, you know, black heritage and black
mm-hmm.
personalities, and we mm-hmm. love it. Like, mm-hmm. they liked seeing
yeah,
themselves
here.
On screen.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah.
saw both. Or and I saw a lot of people who felt the same way we do, where it's complex, and they're like, mm-hmm. they're like, hey, I relate to Joe, I love Joe, or I love Dorothea, or I love this person, I love that person, mm-hmm. but like, at the end of the day, it's kind of sad that they also
yeah,
you know,
body switched,
body swapped.
Yeah.
So next week though, there isn't, but well, actually technically there is body swapping. I shouldn't say that, but in a different way. We're doing Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
If you have not seen it, I highly, highly recommend this.
You need to watch it.
It is so freaking good. It.
Yeah.
Lovecraft Country. Yeah. It's so different than it sounds.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be doing that. Oh my gosh. We've watched it like 1,000 times. It's so good. It's on HBO. You can watch the whole thing now. It's not live anymore. You can watch it from start to end. we watched it live. That was like torture, having to wait every week for the next episode. But yeah, so I'm really excited to dive into that one. That's probably going to be a really long episode because there is so much to pull from this, from that series.
I'm super excited to dive into it. I'm super excited to. There's so many themes.
Ugh.
Oh my gosh.
Too many themes.
And we cannot wait to dive in with you guys. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.
Yay.